What a great day. Bless the Lord. It's a real privilege every time we meet together to sense the Lord's presence, to hear His word among us. Praise God. I was interested when Richard was checking if we'd listened. I think we probably had, but sometimes it slips out of the memory. Andrew's clearly got a very good memory. I do remember layer cake. Praise God. I was just thinking back, it's been a little while since I last spoke, so I'm not expecting you to remember what I said last time. So I'm just going to remind you, if that's okay, because what I want to say this morning is in a context, and I felt I should continue. I'd been thinking, I was going to say recently, fairly recently, about walking with God. And I've been particularly thinking about key elements of what will enable us by His grace to maintain a close and intimate walk with Him. And for many years now, this isn't by any means comprehensive, but for many years I've found helpful to think around three specific areas. And they are worship, the Word, and work. Now you might be thinking, oh, what about prayer and what about this, that and the other? Obviously, there's so much more. And in those three aspects, worship, the Word, and work, there are so many elements. And anyone who gets to speak will always find that there's a tension, because the Lord's Word is so rich and so full. How on earth can you convey the heart of His word at any point in time? But it's wonderful that through ordinary human vessels He chooses to speak, He chooses to communicate, and He has already done so again this morning. It's been such a blessing just singing some of those hymns. That line, our scanty thought surpasses far. It's talking about the mercy of the Father. It's just amazing. And what a gift given to a man to be able to put into words some of those truths. Wonderful. And it's food to us. So I've been thinking about worship, and last time, this is what I'm just trying to give you the connection. Last time I spoke a little bit about worship. I don't know if you remember. I mentioned a chap called Brother Lawrence from some time back on his deathbed in 1691 with his fellow monks gathered around. I'm not dying, he said. I'm just doing what I've been doing for the past 40 years and doing what I expect to be doing for all eternity. What's that? One of the monks asked. And this was his answer. It's just so lovely. Worshipping the God I love. Do you want to be a worshipper of God? Bless the Lord. He's preparing us for an eternity. So let's get going, shall we? And essentially it is that, isn't it? It's just, I worship you because, bottom line, you've loved me. We can break that all down and look into different aspects, but do you realize you've been loved by Almighty God? Loved by Him. Oh, how wonderful. We looked at true worshippers, and it's described in John 4 as worshippers in spirit and in truth, and we noticed that the Father Himself is seeking worshippers. Do you remember? I don't know if you do. Anyway, massive topic, worship. What a rich subject to ponder and to ask the Lord to enable us in our different ways, but essentially it's bringing, I don't know if I quoted to you this before, essentially it's the believer's response, it's bringing all that we are, mind, emotions, will, body, all that we are, in response to all that God is and says and does. I found that quite helpful. We might not think we've got much to bring, but essentially bring it all to Him. And it's in response to all that He is and says and does. It's a response, isn't it? Worship. Praise Him. And I wrote this down, and then we're going to move on to our topic for this morning. To worship and adore God involves loving Him with all the powers within us. We love Him with fear and wonder and yearning and awe. We bow down, we lift up, we kiss our hand towards the one we love for first loving us. And we delight in His word, not just His wealth. It's good to know our Father is, to put it in layman's terms, minted. It's all His. Isn't that wonderful? It's all His. Sometimes we come, oh Lord, You're asking everything. It's His anyway. That's the irony. But He deals with us in reality and draws out the love and worship from our hearts. Praise God. Praise God. True worshippers of God. You know, the world actually needs such to be living amongst them. Devoted. Head over heels, if I can put it that way, in love with Jesus. Our brother at the conference was touching on some of that. Just ministering to Him. Loving Him. Glory to His name. I'm going to do something a little off piste. If you're a skier, you'll know what that is. Please just bear with me. I was inspired. Chan and I went to see a film. Now, this isn't a recommendation, but if you want a film recommendation, come and speak to me about it afterwards. We just happened to see The Darkest Hour. Have you heard of that film? I don't know if anyone's seen it. We've been given a Christmas token, and you know I love a freebie. I was still a bit outraged at the price it would have cost. But that's just me. I can't believe you've taken that much off our voucher. Anyway, I was inspired by this film in a number of ways. It's predominantly around just days in May 1940, particularly around the life of Churchill and in the context of those tumultuous times. And just towards, I'm not going to go into all the detail in case you want to see it, but just towards the end, you know the famous speech he gets to, which includes, we'll fight them on the beaches, we'll fight them, you know. And they're all in there, Parliament, and there's been naysayers, there's a whole thing going on. And anyway, he gets to the climax in the film and he says this speech, and the whole place suddenly erupts. They're all waving in agreement. And there's been a huge change of mind. And two of the naysayers in the film, one of them turns to the other one and says, "What just happened? What just happened?" And the other one says, "He just mobilized the English language and sent it into battle." Well, that captured my imagination. He used words to massively impact and mobilize all the powers that be, if you like, in that particular context. And actually, it was to great effect. And suddenly, from a place of nearly done for, suddenly in the hearts and minds of people was victory. the power of the spoken word. It really captured my attention. Now, we need to be careful because charismatic speakers can lead people in the right path or up a gum tree or into the blackness of hell itself with the power of the spoken word. We need to be careful. But it got me to thinking, and my second subject in the context I've just given you, so we thought about worship. Now this second key element for those who want to walk intimately with God, I'm absolutely convinced, is the word. And I'm so glad my brother Peter started off with that quote from Richard Wilson, a man who put, whatever, 30 years or so study. He sounded like a really intelligent fellow. Where did he get that intelligence from? Gift from God. It's all his anyway. Bless the Lord. So we should, whatever intelligence we may think we have or we don't have, we've got to keep reminding ourselves it's all from him. So this dear fellow, using the gift that God's given him, he was a bright spark, wasn't he? 45 languages. I sat there thinking, if I'm really honest, I can barely do one. Although I'm giving it my best shot. Bit of Scouse in there as well. If needed, especially when I'm getting the car fixed. It's good to be able to change your language to get what you want. If you come out too posh, you get ripped off. Just a tip. So I go in there, all right, mate, how's it going? Love your work, mate. How much? Anyway, sorry, I'm getting distracted. Love it. So, this man, 45 languages, but did you see, he'd been called by God. I don't know much about that, but I'm going to look him up, but he'd been called by God, and he gave himself with purpose and focus. And the conclusion was, the word is rock solid. Bless the Lord. Never mind mobilizing the English language and sending it into battle. God mobilized the word and sent him into battle. What just happened, we could say. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. The Father took his Son and sent him the word, who came and spoke words of life and won the ultimate victory. Bless the name of the Lord. So I was inspired by this speech, and I checked it with Chan. Did she think it was okay if I did this? I've just put together, if you will, a little word cloud, okay? Again, by no means comprehensive. It's basically just scriptures from all over the place, but focusing in with the theme, the word. So fasten your seatbelts and allow God to mobilize his word, even in just snippets, to inspire us and to change our minds and to change our perspective, okay? Bless the Lord. Is not my word like fire, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? He's the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, and in him all things hold together. For in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made. The worlds were framed by the word of the Lord. All things were made through him. The word of the Lord is pure. The word of the Lord is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. The word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord came to her. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Not a word failed of any good thing that the Lord had spoken. Let the Lord establish his word. May the Lord fulfill his word. The Lord has fulfilled his word. The Lord gave the word. He sent the word. His word runs very swiftly. It shall not return void. And it was according to the word of the Lord. Glory to his name. Hear the word of the Lord. He heard the word. He obeyed the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord tested him. And we could think, and when he's tried us, we shall come forth as gold. I hope in your word. I meditate on your word. The entirety of your word is truth. The word of our God stands forever. The word which I speak, says the Lord, will come to pass. I will say the word, and I will perform it. Big pause, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. What a word this is! At your word I will let down the net. Just say the word. Remember, the word which I have spoken to you. And they believed the word that Jesus said. Preach the word, teach the word, minister the word, live the word, rightly divide the word of truth. And the word of God spread. The word of God grew and multiplied. The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And they glorified the word of the Lord. It's the word of challenge, conviction and conversion. The word of knowledge and of wisdom. It's the word of his grace and of the gospel. The word of promise and the prophetic word. The word of reconciliation, regeneration, restoration for the nation and the nations of the world. Glory to his name. It's the word of exhortation, the word of righteousness, the good word, the word of truth, the word of life. Oh, hallelujah. So receive the word with meekness. Receive the implanted word. And the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Handle it, hide it, hold it fast. It's the faithful word. Hear the word, see the word, eat the word, and do the word. And guess what? The word of God is not chained. It's not bound. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the Word of the Lord endures forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, bless the Lord for his Word. Bless the Lord. He, Jesus Christ, is the Word of God. And God has sent his Word. He's mobilized his Word. And he sent him into battle, and he won the victory. And this Word stands forever and shall never, never, ever fail. Never shaken. Fixed on this ground, will remain. Hey? Bless the Lord. That's part of his word, isn't it? His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. The word. What a rich library. Thank the Lord that it's the spoken word, the written word, the living word. Oh, praise God. As Richard was exhorting us, it's the word that's written into the formation of the rocks. The layer cake and the soft tissue and the... what was the other one? Sorry. Genetic entropy and your Christmas present you gave to yourself. What was that one? There you go, junk DNA. It was the mitochondrial... whatever that word was, I'm going to study it. But all of that too. You might, depending on what type of person you are, you might ask the question that Richard asked us. What is he telling us all this for? I tell you what. It's affirming the truth of the Word of God. Bless the Lord. Praise God. So let's go to chapter 4. And here we meet the Word of God in the flesh. From one perspective, up against it intensely. Okay, we're just going to look. I don't know if you remember when we talked about worship, I just mentioned, if you just cast your eye down to the last temptation. In chapter 4 and verse 8. This is just to make the link with when we were talking about worship. The temptation came here in verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, sometimes the enemy's temptations, more often than not, in fact, I would suggest, they come in a subtle form. This one is not subtle. This one, you can tell he knows he's lost. Or at least he knows he's got nothing to lose. And he just comes all out, right in the face, what he wanted, worship me. He's saying this to the Son of God, the Word of God. And look at Jesus' response. We saw this in the context of worship before, in the context of worship contested. And in verse 10, Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. Really interesting, with all these temptations, his response is, for it is written. Now, bearing in mind, this is the Word of God. And the Word of God, I love this, it's on so many levels. The Word of God is countering the enemy, the ultimate enemy. The Word of God himself counters the ultimate enemy by saying, it is written. Think about that. I mean, that's just, to me, that's just remarkable. He quotes Scripture. If ever there was a good reason to study the Word, I mean the written Word, Scriptures, right there, Jesus, the Word of God, rebuffs Satan by quoting Scripture. Oh, bless the Lord. I think that is wonderful. Wonderful. And he says, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And this was the third and last of these temptations. And it says, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, if you just go back to verse 1 of this chapter. Chapter 4, verse 1. It says there, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, or tested. Now it's really interesting, the context. If you just cast your eye back up to the end of chapter 3, you'll realize that Jesus has just been baptized. And this amazing what is the right word? Ratification, vindication, affirmation, whatever words you want to use there. Come in verse 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, and we had this quoted, I think it was from the on the mount, wasn't it? But the same word, glory to God, breaking through. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Word of God. And there he is, the Son of God, the Word of God from the Father to the Son of God, who is the Word of God. Oh wow, it's all coming together. Mm-hmm. And there he is, this revelation. And then, the verse we just read. Then, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. Well, there's a whole lot we could look into there, but we're not going to just this morning. But just to say, isn't that remarkable? Such a moment of glory. Such a word from heaven. Such clarity, such pleasure of the Father over the Son. And right on the back of it, Jesus is led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. That's a whole subject in itself, isn't it? And it actually says to be tested by the devil. Wow. We read these things so easily, but there is a lot going on there. Come to verse 2. Some of this might be stating the obvious, but I'm going to state it anyway. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. It says it quite clearly there. You would be, wouldn't you? Just to make the point, this is at the extreme end. In fact, it's sort of into the realm of miraculous. But if not, it's definitely at the extreme parameters of what is physically possible. It's not good not to eat for 40 days and 40 nights. Is it? Generally speaking, if you want to remain strong and reasonably healthy, I would advise regular eating of a healthy, balanced diet. Is that okay? Any doctors? I know some have retired now, so I can't directly refer to them. You go with me on that, yeah? 5 a day has gone up to 7 a day, apparently. There must be something going on, some deal with the veg producers. But anyway, sorry, that's me. So it says he was hungry. He was hungry. Essentially, from the sort of physical, human point of view, he was vulnerable. He was weak. He was hungry. And look how the devil comes to him. In verse 3, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if. Now sometimes the word if, we need to be a bit careful. Usually you think that's a conditional thing, but here read it as since. I don't think the enemy's disputing who this is. Jesus is fully aware of who he is. He's just had it ratified by the Father from heaven. Not that he had any doubt. That had all been sealed. Absolutely no question. And the devil knew full well who he was. That's why he was coming at him, big guns blazing. He had to stop this. At all costs. He had to stop it. He tried when he was a kid. Do you remember? Bless the Lord. He didn't succeed. And now he's coming, all guns blazing. Jesus, in his humanity, bear this in mind, it's very real. 40 days and 40 nights, he would have been starving. I can barely do a day, I'll be honest with you. Seriously. I'm all for breakfast. Full English, every so often. Sorry, I missed the men's breakfast. Did it happen? Oh, okay. Here, he's hungry. Really, really, really hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, since you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. This is quite subtle. You're the Son of God. You've got powers. You're about to start on an epic mission. But you're starving. Now that can't be a good thing. Can't be a good thing to be weak. Just turn those stones. See those stones that look remarkably like buns? It's amazing. Seriously, if you're really hungry, and I don't know too much about that, but I've heard stories, you start imagining food and just the everyday objects that are around, the stones. See those? See those stones? Easy lemon squeeze. Just breath in. And you say, oh. Now we might think this is just a little thing. Would it have really mattered? Yes. Quickly turn, just one. Just relieve a little of the hunger. Surely that's not right. Your father said he's well pleased in you just back there. 40 days ago, remember? And now he's allowing you to be hungry. What is that? You can see the subtlety of it. The power of it. And Jesus says, and I love this, and I love that he quotes Deuteronomy every time. The scriptures, we've heard it said that they're all bang on. Glory to God. All scripture is profitable, doesn't Paul say to Timothy? And he was referring there to the Old Testament scriptures. All scripture is profitable. Hallelujah. All inspired. Glory to his name. Just by the by, the enemy currently now is full on trying to erode the belief in the truth of the Word of God. He's big guns blazing. He's coming at it left, right and centre. Trying to erode this angle, this angle, this angle, this angle. We must be people of the Word. I'm talking here now about the written Word of God. Amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. And Jesus responds in verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Wow. Can you picture it? He's physically, absolutely starving. At that stage, seriously, the body would have gone into the, what is it, starvation mode? Or physically, the desire to eat something would have been so strong. It says he was hungry. And the enemy turned those stones into bread. Jesus, glory to God, he won the victory right here. Because he'd been mobilized by his Father. This was the Word. What just happened, we might say? What just happened? The Word of God is on the move. And nothing and no one, not even the devil himself and all his minions, are going to stop him. In his weakest moment, humanly speaking, hunger. Get this. Man shall not live by bread alone. He resolved what Adam and Eve had blown in the garden right there. Devil comes. Oh. The situation's completely different. It's not a wilderness, it's a beautiful, abundant garden. But the devil comes there to Adam and Eve. I know you've got a right smorgasbord and fruit and all kinds of wonderful, perfect, lovely munchies. What about that one? Ooh, look at that one. He said you can't have it, did he? And he's challenging the Word back there in the garden. And Adam and Eve, they fell. And what untold tragedy and lostness entered the human predicament right there. And then death, essentially. It took a while to manifest itself, but death entered right there. Well, here in the wilderness, Jesus, the Son of Man, wins the victory. Glory to God. Glory to God, we're here because Jesus didn't falter here. And he quotes the scripture. He quotes Deuteronomy 8. Man shall not live by bread alone. Now he's not saying we don't need food to eat to survive. Of course he made us. That's how we're designed. But what he's saying is what we've just meditated on earlier. The word of the Lord is paramount. Jesus says to the devil, every word, that's what I'm feasting on. Every word that proceeds from the mouth Now, in our experience, don't we know that to some extent? Have you ever been hungry? I don't want to take this out of context, but I just said to my dear wife, after not being too well again recently, "Love, I'm really hungry." I wasn't meaning I hadn't been fed. As you can probably see, the pounds I'd lost, I've put back on. I'm not talking about that. I missed the consciousness of the Lord. I know He never left me, but I missed it. I'm hungry. Listen, I don't know what your experience is specifically. Thank the Lord, He knows. Thank the Lord, He knows. If you turn to Deuteronomy, chapter 8. This is the context from which Jesus is quoting. I love that the Word of God quotes the Word of God. It's just brilliant. Praise the Lord. Now I've lost it. Can you help me? Man shall not live. There we go. Yeah. So, and you shall remember. So we've recognized that Jesus has rectified what went wrong in the garden right there in Matthew 4. You can read it in Luke 4 as well. But He's also rectifying what Israel failed to do. It says here, interesting, that it's the 40 days, 40 nights, and they were in the wilderness, weren't they? 40 years. And it says in verse 2, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you." Just make these links with Matthew. "The Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you and allowed you to hunger." Ah, it's interesting, isn't it? He allowed them to hunger. Now, I've got verses from the Psalms. "Lord, you don't let any of yours go hungry." And then here, "And He allowed them to hunger." We have to hold these things together, don't we? "He allowed them to hunger, and then He fed them with a manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know." And here's the quote, "that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." That is where Jesus is quoting from. Are we learning that? I'm with you, Ruth. I feel like I'm a slow learner sometimes. But you know what? We're responding to the Lord, and He says, "Come to me, all you are weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Yeah, and then He says, "Learn from me." Are we in the way? Are we learning? Lifelong learning. That's my work outside of here. Lifelong learning. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Are we learning deep down in the very core of who we are that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from His mouth? Praise Him. If you cast your mind back to the days of Colossians, not that that's past. Wonderful word. I've noticed it's popped up on the new website. New website's great, by the way. Brilliant. Yeah, just a little thank you to the team. Wonderful. But this we get in Colossians. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Dwell is essentially making house. All those wonderful ideas of house and home. Not just a place, but like real deep belonging. Bless the Lord, the Word. Deeply at home. In me, in you, in us. How good is that? This Word that we
glorify Him.
Our home. And He wants our cooperation. He's not just barging in uninvited. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. A friend of mine has taken that and literally run with it. Jesus at the door. People being saved. But funny thing is, it's not really an evangelistic tool. It's to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you want intimacy with God? Well, you have to just open the door. We have to do it today. If we want that, we do it today. We can close doors, you know, in our hearts. Sometimes subtly, but we can close off a little through all manner of things. Through disappointed hopes, through pain, through things appearing to go wrong. And we can begin to just slightly shut it down a little. And Jesus, son, daughter, I've never left you. I'm with you all the way. And I still want what I've always wanted. Ongoing walk with you, my dear, precious, loved son, daughter. I want intimacy. Bless the Lord. Dwell. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Richly. What's that? Well, that's talking about quantity and degree. Let the word dwell in you richly. It's abundance. It's us cooperating, applying it, using it in all of its teaching, but also using it constantly at all times and in all circumstances. Do you see the two kind of prongs there? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Oh, hallelujah. We're to read it. Study it. Now, if you think, oh, I'm not really a Bible scholar, that's okay. There's so many opportunities. We study it individually. We study it together. There's lots of good resources, aren't there? One of the best ways, just ask questions together, talk about it. We love talking about the word, don't we? But in house groups, together after the meetings, if something's been said, come and ask. Okay, maybe not straight after if I'm happen to go. talk, let's engage in the word. It's not just about someone standing up saying it, boom, job done, let's go. Oh, praise the Lord. The word, let the word dwell in us richly. Richly, for this word endures forever. It should never fade. Bless His name. Maybe we need to pray for a fresh kindling of hunger for His word. A fresh, if you like, a wetting of the appetite. Ever grown dull? I have. Some of my friends at work might say that it isn't a grown dog. It's always been the case. They're friends, really. You understand what I'm saying. We go through all kinds of different things in life. Don't lose heart. Bless the Lord. This word rides on triumphantly. And when you can't walk, He carries you. Praise God. And He's going to supply. Oh, I love this. An abundant entrance. When the day comes. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. You still with me? Time is flying as usual. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I'll just quote this. I mentioned it before. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That in this context, that the man of God, I would suggest that any of us may be complete. That's God's heart for us, that we should be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, we've just got time for a few questions. brief comments. I think I've used this illustration before. Again, probably in my mind, sorry, back in the days of Colossians. I know that's not actually a time period. But here's an illustration of letting the Word of God dwell in us richly. And I read this, and sometimes you've got to be a little careful with illustrations, because you can read some really emotive ones and then you find out it's a load of baloney. Someone's just made it up. So I researched this a bit and checked it out and found it in its original source as well. So from what I can tell, this is genuine. And this is a beautiful and touching story that's told of a young French girl who had been born blind. Have you remember this one? I don't know if you do. Anyway, after she learned to read by touch, Braille, you know the... So after she'd learned to read by touch, a friend gave her a Braille copy of Mark's Gospel. She read it, and she read it, and she read it. She read it so much that her fingers became calloused and insensitive, which must have been absolutely devastating for this dear young girl. In an effort to regain the feeling, she began to cut the skin from the ends of her fingers. Tragically, however, the calluses were replaced by permanent and even more insensitive scars. She sobbingly gave the book a goodbye kiss, saying, "Farewell," something like this, it would have been in French, but I'm not going to give you it in French. "Farewell, farewell, sweet word," I think that's precious, "sweet word of my Heavenly Father." In doing so, she discovered, I love this, that her lips were even more sensitive than her fingers had been. And she spent the rest of her life reading her great treasure with her lips. When I first read that, I was taken, hook, line and sinker. And then thought, I need to check it out, see if it's true. I don't want to be cynical, but there's a lot of stuff out there that's just... we need to be wise with these things. But it appears it is true. But what it speaks to me of is someone, despite great difficulty, despite physical disadvantage, and yet there was this hunger, this delighting in, this treasuring of the Word of God. So much so that she would eat it. And I'm going to comment just before we close on that. She would eat it, almost literally, for love of the Word. That challenged me. At the moment, I can see perfectly well. Dad got me a new nice Bible. I'll just show you. Blue cover, lovely. Not got any marks in, just a couple for today. Brand new. I'm actually embarrassed. I've got plenty of Bibles. We're resource rich. And yet I have to ask myself the question, and I don't mean this in any intense way. That girl just had Mark's Gospel and then couldn't even read it with her fingers. Do you see what I'm saying? The hunger for the Word. I prayed again this morning, "Oh Lord, in all the busyness, please, Lord, in your mercy, keep the hunger for your Word alive deep inside me." Bless the Lord. I saw Pete Skinner briefly before he had, just the day before he had his op. It was interesting to see him just before and then just after. But anyway, dear man, I said, "What are you doing, Pete? It's a big one. How are you doing?" He said, "Dave, I'm just writing down here, over and over, Psalm 1. I'm just making sure it's fresh in my mind. I'm just memorizing it again." I said, "Oh, why are you doing that?" He said, "So I can meditate on it when I come into high dependency, because they're taking all my stuff. They're taking my notebook. They're taking my Bible." And his hunger for the Word in his mind. That really blessed me. He said, "Dave, can you test me?" "Aye, aye, boss." So I took his notepad and then he tried to read to me. And you could see how he was trying to do little memory triggers. Got a few the wrong way round. I wasn't going to pull him up at that stage. Believe me, the day before an operation, I wasn't going to mark it, was I? But he'd got the heart of it, and you could see his passion and his love for the Lord and his word. Touch me. Spoke to me. Glory. Glory. Yeah, Peggy. Oh, I know. I know. I wasn't even going to go there. Wow. I tell you what, Colin and David and Fiaz, and he got all the names. He's after them, isn't he? He's a man on a mission, no doubt about it. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Oh, how sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. And I treasured your word more than my necessary food, more than my daily food. Just a few more quotes around that. I was going to read from here, but the time's gone. You can read the title if you can see. Eat this book. It's exhorting us to a certain kind of reading, which isn't for all the time. But I think we lose out, if we don't have it some of the time, of a meditative reading of the word, nourishing it, chewing on it, savouring it, every morsel, getting the goodness out of it and into us, that the word also should become flesh even in us. An old saint from many years ago said this, and I'm going to finish here. To know much, but to taste little, what good is that? To know much, but to taste little, what good is that? Can I just commend that to you as we think about the word and treasure it? And by God's grace, allow him to stir fresh hunger in our hearts for it, so that we truly should be those who live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let's pray, shall we? Father, Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you that currently we have the freedom to worship you like this, to express our hearts together to you, to sing your praises, to share your word together, to listen out for your voice. Oh, praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you see our hearts here this morning. You see exactly where we're up to. You see exactly where we are in our walk with you. And thank you, Lord, that your heart still beats with tenderness, not just for those without, but for us, your people, that we should press on with you, that we should not be discouraged, that we should continue. Oh, glory to your name. Father, we want to thank you again this morning for Jesus, the Word of God, with that robe dipped in blood. We worship you, Lord. We magnify you. We glorify you. And we do open the door of our life, our heart, to you again today. Bless your name. Bless your name, Lord. See the silent response in all of our hearts to you. Lord, and kindle afresh, Lord, the gift of God in each one of us, that we should hunger and thirst for you alone. Help us, Lord, as we go on together. And we pray for all those who aren't here. We pray for those that are spiritually hungry. Pray for those that are weak. Bless them. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Speak your word to their hearts, we pray. And may we all walk on together, Lord, for your glory and for your purposes. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.